I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are halfway to the weekend. It is a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, and you just heard the forecast. The weather's going to be incredible. I personally would like it to be a little cooler this time of year, but the humidity is down, and you really can't complain. The weather is just amazing, and it's going to be a great weekend for Halloween activities. It's going to be a great weekend for the Swifties in town for the Taylor Swift concert. A great weekend for doing anything, and I think into next week, it looks like the weather's going to be nice. So it should be a nice Halloween night for everybody who wants to go out Halloween night. But I'm telling you, this weekend is going to be totally insane in the Quarter and on Frenchman. This is the big Halloween weekend. The weekend before Halloween is always totally crazy because a lot of people do the big stuff the weekend before Halloween and not on Halloween night. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon. I think there's a possibility that you and I are not going to agree on everything this afternoon, and I think that's okay. You know, this show, I think, is a great exercise in American freedom and freedom of speech. So we've got a lot to get to this afternoon. So the Pelicans play their first game today. I'm not sure that all the starters are going to be there, but the Pelicans play their first game today, and that's always exciting. And you know, let's anticipate a really, you know, great year for the Pelicans. You know, you never know how it's going to turn out, but let's anticipate a very positive year. And Swifties continue to come into town, and a lot of fans were at Champion Square earlier, where merchandise is on sale. And I mentioned in the crossover with Newell just a few minutes ago, Newell's going to be in Lafayette tomorrow, doing the show in Lafayette. And Swifties are coming into New Orleans. The Newellies are heading into Lafayette. And there's a whole area there where they're selling, you know, T-shirts, Newellies for good government, Newellies vote. And so, you know, that's going to be an exciting time for Newell Norman. All right. So a lot to get to this afternoon. Also, I want to mention something about the Swifties. And I want to mention something about the popularity of Taylor Swift. I mention this because this is something that I realized, I think it was 1985. You know, even when I was doing music radio, I did comedy bits and I did a lot of stuff, and not everybody liked me. I mean, I was rated number one, but there were still people who thought I sucked. And that's just life. But at that moment, I realized Michael Jackson was on top and Bruce Springsteen was on top. And there were people who did not like Michael Jackson. There were people who did not like Bruce Springsteen. And so it occurred to me at that point in my career that you don't have to get everybody to like you to be really successful. In fact, if you actually try to do something to get everybody to like you, if I tried to get everybody to like you, like me, this show wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be as compelling as it is. So it's my goal to just be honest with my opinions, and I let you be honest with your opinions. But Taylor Swift is another example of this. There are people who hate Taylor Swift. They hate her. Many people hate her because of her politics. Some people hate her because they don't like her music. Some people just don't like people who get to be that popular. But because of her politics, there are people who hate Taylor Swift. But look how popular she is. So once again, you know, this reminds me, and it should remind you, you don't have to get everybody to like you to be hugely successful in whatever you do. And if you try to get everybody to like you, and it came up yesterday because a caller said something like, you know, Scoot, you know, a lot of your listeners, you know, a lot of people around here, they don't like you. Well, that's okay. I mean, we have good ratings. We have a tremendous audience. There are a lot of people who do like this show. And as I mentioned the other day, a woman came up to me at Walgreens, and this also happened before the last Saints game. You know, people say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We love what you're doing. And it's almost like they want to whisper it to me, like they come up, hey, keep doing what you're doing. Like what, you can't say that out loud? Anyway, I appreciate all of that. So we don't do the show for the critics. I do the show for everybody else. But I remind you that in your life, whatever any of you do for a living, not everybody likes you. Some people think you suck. Some people think your business sucks. Some people think that there are other businesses that do a better job than you, and that's why you don't have 100% of the market. Nobody has 100% of the market. So, you know, look at the popularity of Taylor Swift and look at the people who don't like her, and you're kind of reminded you just don't have to get everybody to like you to be really successful. By the way, the causeway southbound, the causeway is closed. An 18-wheeler crash. We'll let you know. It just reopened. Okay, so word is the causeway just reopened, but there was an 18-wheeler crash, and I think two things possibly happen when there's an 18-wheeler crash. Either the 18-wheeler driver was driving too fast, wasn't paying attention, and just had this big, giant rig and couldn't stop, couldn't slow down, couldn't stop. And if he had to in a hurry, then jackknife. That can happen. Or some stupid motorist just pulled in front of the trucker and forced the trucker to slow down in a hurry. And that's what caused the crash. So generally speaking, those are the two scenarios that take place. All right. So let's see. A lot to get to. When he was president, Donald Trump showed and has showed respect for Hitler. According to an article in The Atlantic, which is really top of the news right now, Donald Trump's former chief of staff, General John Kelly, said that Trump said he wished he had generals like Hitler. Now, how do you spin that? I guess you spin it by saying, well, John Kelly's wrong. Trump never said that about Hitler. Fox News has tried to spin it, but they never discredited John Kelly from saying it. Now, if you want to discredit John Kelly, then you could call the show or text the show and tell me what lies John Kelly has got caught telling. Give me a lie from John Kelly. Now, we know Donald Trump lies. We've talked about that on the show. Now, again, I know a lot of you are going to vote for Donald Trump, but that doesn't mean he tells the truth all the time. And when he lies, he tells some whoppers. So we know Donald Trump lies. So who do you believe here, John Kelly or Donald Trump? And how do you spin this? Donald Trump shows signs of being fascist. If you look up the definition of fascism, it fits. This authoritarian mentality, this idea that it's the government that runs things, and maybe religion sneaks into it, but it's only one religion or no religion. But in this case, it's Christian nationalism that is part of that mentality of the Trump inner circle. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I think is scary. And former President Barack Obama appealed to young voters on a podcast, and he said to young voters, why are you going to let old people decide the future of your country? You don't let old people tell you what music to listen to. You don't let old people tell you what clothes to wear. So why would you let old people decide how this country is going to go in the future by not voting? And the presumption is that the more young people who vote, the better chance of Kamala Harris winning the election. Although there are a lot of young people, a lot of Zoomers, a lot of millennials, a lot of Xers, a lot of younger generations are Trump supporters. So I still don't know how this election is going to turn out. And you don't either. The polls are close, and we're not even sure that the polls are totally and completely accurate. Scientists have discovered that if you are really into porn, like if you're really like seriously into porn and you consume it on a daily basis, that it can actually be harmful to your health to cold turkey. You can't just suddenly stop watching porn, according to these scientists. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Maybe a problem for some of you. Hey, if some of you are clinging to the idea that Donald Trump won the election in 2020, why don't you ask Rudy Giuliani whether or not you should continue with that idea? Rudy Giuliani has been ordered to turn over his $6 million penthouse apartment in New York and other assets to the Georgia election workers Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss, who he defamed them when he was trying to prove that Trump won the election. Rudy Giuliani was Donald Trump's attorney, and he went on promoting the lie that Trump won the election. And in the process, he defamed Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss. And I almost feel sorry for Rudy Giuliani because he's such a kind of almost a semi-hunchback nothing now. I mean, he went from being America's mayor after 9/11 to being a nothing and a sucker. And I don't know that Trump ever paid him. And now he's got to give up his $6 million apartment in New York. Can you imagine how Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss feel? Man, they're going to get the keys to this apartment in New York, a $6 million penthouse apartment. Man, they're going to have parties. I mean, they can bring friends up there, family. I mean, they own it. They could sell it if they want to. Now, Rudy Giuliani tried to sell it, and he couldn't get the price that he wanted, so it didn't sell. But they don't have to put anything down. They're just going to own this apartment. And there's a bunch of other stuff they're going to own, too. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But, man, if you're clinging to this idea that Trump won the election in 2020, you ask Rudy Giuliani whether or not you should continue down that path. Now, a judge has declared that a Navy veteran who is suing CNN for defamation did not act criminally or illegally. This is a big case against CNN, and we'll be talking about that. And Martha Stewart was on a podcast a TV show. He was on the ABC series. No, the ABC series is The Golden Bachelor. He was on that show with Andy Cohen. Watch What Happens. And it was Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart, because they're kind of a loosely linked couple, if you will. Anyway, Cohen asked Martha Stewart if she would go on The Golden Bachelorette and be a bachelorette who would entertain the hearts and the pleas of older men. And she said no, because older guys aren't hot. So we'll talk about whether or not, you know, it's good to be with an older person or you need to be with somebody your age. And is there an age separation in your relationship? We will get into that. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. And when we come back, we're going to go to Ian with some of your early text messages. So a lot to get to this afternoon, and we're heading into Halloween weekend. I'm Scoot on WWL. All right. Why do politicians ever make reference to effing Hitler? I mean, why? You know, if Donald Trump is in a meeting at the White House and there are other people there, why would you say anything? Or if you're with other people, you know, outside of the White House, why would you ever make a comment, a positive comment about Hitler? You know, we've all had friends who turn into our enemies. Why would you think that everybody around you at that moment is going to be your friend forever? So Donald Trump fires John Kelly, General John Kelly, as his chief of staff, because General Kelly is not, you know, following the orders. Because the orders are against the law. It's against the rules of, you know, government of the United States. So he's not following all the rules. So he gets fired. So John Kelly has been very vocal about Donald Trump. And some of you might argue, well, he got fired, so he's just a disgruntled employee. You know, you can say that and believe that if you want. But John Kelly's a credible person. And Fox News never, as much as they were trying to get around it today, trying to get around this comment in the story in The Atlantic, that Donald Trump said, why can't he have generals like Hitler? Once again, showing respect for Hitler. I mean, what good did Hitler do? You know, that was a question asked on CNN. What's positive about Hitler? And instead of rounding up the Jews, if Donald Trump really admires Hitler, if he wants to be like Hitler, who would he round up? The Democrats? You know, he's referring to the Democrats as the enemy within. Not just domestic terrorists, but Democrats as the enemy within. So who would he round up? I don't know. I mean, this is, you know, scary stuff in my opinion. So I don't know. What's the spin on Donald Trump saying he'd like to have generals like Hitler? If you're a good boss, you respect people who respectfully disagree with you, but basically tell you to do the right thing. And I don't know how many of you are in a position to reject something that your boss says. If your boss told you to do something that was illegal, would you do it? If your boss told you to do something that you knew you were not supposed to do. Maybe something that was even against company policy. I mean, I've worked for bosses. I've never been involved in the decision process, but I have worked for bosses who have made mistakes in their decisions. They have actually gone against company policy. And I've worked for bosses that have actually borderline broken FCC regulations. Now, it hasn't been my job. They weren't, you know, directing me to do it, so I wasn't in a position to say, no, I'm not going to do that. But would you do something your boss told you to do if it was illegal? I mean, some of you are in a position to where you would have to because you need the job. So it's kind of scary. It's a tough situation. But John Kelly wouldn't do certain things, so he got fired. So Donald Trump apparently says he wants generals like Hitler. And Fox News is trying to say, well, this is politically planned. It's a political strategy. It's a political distraction. Well, of course it is. I mean, everything that happens now is politically based. Everything is politically motivated. And there's no doubt that John Kelly is politically motivated to say this about Donald Trump. So if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Ian Hoke with some of your early text messages.
Sal is listening today and he says, Scoot, just to show you how little Trump knows about history, Hitler's generals plotted to blow him up.
Well, you know, I don't know German history
three times, if
degree.
I recall.
But at some point, he had to find generals around him. I'm sure he got rid of those. At some point, he had to find generals around him who would do what he wanted them to do.
Let's see. Here's a text that says, oh, I do not like Rudy Giuliani, but I think the amount of money that those two people are getting is totally ridiculous. They wouldn't have made that money in their lifetime.
Well, I guess you could make that argument. I think they sued for $148 million. So I don't know. Look, it's a lot has to do with what you have. You know, if you defame somebody and you have a lot of money, you know, you're going to be asked to pay a lot of money, because if you defame somebody, it should hurt you. You shouldn't be able to just, oh, I'll give them $1 million if you're like a multimillionaire. I mean, that's not fair. So it should hurt. In fact, Rudy Giuliani may even have to give up his Palm Beach home in Florida. He may have to give that up too. But these two people in Georgia, they're getting the $6 million penthouse from Rudy Giuliani because Giuliani was so stupid that he went on this campaign and went to courts to try to prove Donald Trump was the winner of the 2020 election, and he wasn't. And in the process, he defamed two people, and now the guy's paying.
Here's a text that says, Trump is a raging narcissist who at this point has been untouchable. He can say and do whatever he wants, and 60 or 70 million people will still vote for him. I'm patiently waiting on people to call in and defend Hitler.
Well, you know, we give him the opportunity. I mean, what do you think is the spin on Donald Trump saying that he wants generals like Hitler? And he seems to have this intrinsic respect for dictators. I don't think that's a healthy thing for a president of the United States. I don't want the president of the United States to have a healthy respect for dictators, because there's always the chance that somebody might try to become a dictator in the United States. I don't think it's going to happen, but they might try, and it might get messy in the process of dethroning them.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, I just heard you refer to that Atlantic article. I read it today, and it is chock full of horrendous comments from Trump. Lots that show utter disrespect for the military. Read it all. It's frightening.
Well, and just Donald Trump. Look, if you're a veteran, I mean, how do you spin this? He called veterans suckers and losers, especially those who die. Donald Trump, the character of the man, got out of the draft. He was drafted. He got out of it with bone spurs, which was a known thing back in the 60s to use as a cop-out to get out of the military. Donald Trump escaped by cheating and getting out of the draft and not going to Vietnam. I would think that Donald Trump would have deep respect for veterans, but he calls them suckers and losers. And again, John McCain was a prisoner of war and said he didn't have respect for John McCain, essentially saying he didn't have respect for John McCain because John McCain got caught. And a real good soldier wouldn't have gotten caught. I guess Donald Trump knows a lot about being a good soldier.
Thank you for connecting the dots there, right? Just like we've been saying lately. You know, people say, oh, well, the suckers and losers things, that came from John Kelly. He told reporters that Trump said that at the cemetery. Okay, if you look at that in a vacuum and you don't trust John Kelly, then we're at the end of the road there. But if you zoom out and, again, connect the dots and look at what else Donald Trump has very publicly had to say about how he feels about veterans and wounded veterans in particular, It starts to paint a pretty clear picture. A couple more, got kind of a grab bag here. Here's a text that says, Barack Obama talking crap about old politicians, but didn't he support Biden up until a few weeks ago?
Well, yes, but he supports Biden because he believed in Biden. I don't know, maybe he's one of those Democrats who is going to vote for the Democrat, no matter who the Democrat is. But he does bring up a good point to young voters. Young voters, young people, they don't let old people tell them what to do. But Barack Obama says, if you don't vote, you're letting old people determine the future of this country. And that's a legitimate point. And it scares the hell out of a lot of people if a lot of young people vote. I don't know if young people are going to show up at the polls and vote. They generally don't. But at some point, young generations should get the message, if you vote, you can control things. And stop letting stop letting the voice just be the voice of the older people. Get out and vote.
Let's see. Here's a text. You spoke earlier about how if you have an addiction to watching porn, you shouldn't quit all at once. I guess that's bad for you. Here's a text that says, there we go. In the name of science, if my wife finds out that I have all these girlfriends and I have sex every day with them, I can't stop because the scientists say it's bad for me to go cold turkey. Good to know, Scoot.
Yeah, well, that's it's porn. I don't know if it connects to actually having affairs. I mean, it might. I mean, if you want to use that as an excuse, it's okay. But look, if you have a number of girlfriends and you're having sex every day with your girlfriends and you suddenly cold turkey and you start to have headaches and some of the things, some of the symptoms that result from cold turkey, according to these scientists, to go cold turkey with porn, your wife's going to notice that something's wrong with you. And what excuse are you going to give?
Here's a text that says, how can a public figure like Rudy Giuliani afford a New York penthouse and a Florida beach house?
Well, because he was a politician.
He was an attorney.
And politicians, I mean, politicians and attorneys make a lot of money. And so, you know, he might have bought that penthouse when it was, $800,000. You know, he might have bought it many, many years ago, and now he was trying to sell it for $6 million, or now it's valued at $6 million. He couldn't sell it. But these two women in Georgia get this $6 million penthouse in New York. You can get cheap airfare to New York, or you fly into Newark. You can get inexpensive airfare from Atlanta to New York. And, man, they could be flying up there all the time. They could fly up there on weekends and enjoy the penthouse. I mean, that's a good price for them. And they deserve something because of what Rudy Giuliani said in the name of Donald Trump winning the election. And so Rudy Giuliani learned the lesson the hard way.
I might also offer, anytime you have a public figure that has assets that it doesn't seem real clear how those are accounted for, it's crime. If they're committing crimes to get that money. For example, maybe Rudy Giuliani is selling access to Donald Trump to the Russians or the Ukrainians or whoever else was caught up in that deal. They're ill-gotten gains. That's my guess.
I mean, that's possible. But also, somebody like Giuliani could have bought that penthouse when it was $800,000.
He's always been a wealthy guy. And I'll leave you with this one. Hey, Pete Buttigieg was in Mobile yesterday getting that Amtrak train running again to New Orleans. Cool.
I saw that story on the news, and I got so excited. Because, I mean, think about this. It's just going to be so cool to be able to take the train over to Mobile. And Mobile back here. And you go through the Gulf Coast, so you take the train to Gulfport, Biloxi. I'm sure there'll be a stop in, like, Ocean Springs, probably Pascagoula. You know, I remember as a kid taking the train from New Orleans to Gulfport to go visit our family friends and to hang out with them. And it was so awesome. And I have my brother and his family live in Mobile, so I'm going to be on that train all the time. And I love train travel. And if you've never done it, look for an opportunity to ride the train. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Walter. Walter, welcome to our show.
Good morning, or afternoon, actually.
Afternoon.
I'm kind of an amateur historian. I read a lot of history books. Hopefully, I try to get them from objective sources. I've got something to read to you here, something said by General George Patton when he was put in charge of European affairs after the close of the war. This was July the 21st, 1945. Could I read it?
Okay, so this was at the end of the war.
It's a short paragraph, yeah. Gentlemen, I have come this morning to the inexcusable conclusion that we have fought on the wrong side. This entire war, we should have fought with the fascists against the communists and not the other way around. I fear that perhaps in 50 years, America will pay a dear price and become a land of corruption and degenerate morals. He was killed 2 weeks later. His death was made to look like a Jeep accident.
Wow. Since you're an amateur historian, how do you interpret what General Patton said?
Simply the fact that what he saw when he was put in charge, so he had unrestricted access to the records, to the people, to everything that he needed to, you know, manage the situation over there objectively. He saw that the communists under General Patton and all of, under Stalin and all of Stalin's generals who were in charge of all of his armies were Jews. And they had been given orders to kill as many Germans, men, women, and children, and rape as many women as possible. They were horrible to what they did to the German people. Stalin was planning to invade Eastern Europe, and Hitler knew it. That was the reason he invaded Russia, which was a really stupid thing on his part. He wasn't a very good soldier, actually, but he wanted to, you know, nip that situation in the bud by doing what Napoleon did and making the same mistake Napoleon made. But the reason that Hitler was so popular with his people was the fact that he saved their economy. They had the strongest economy in all of Europe during those years. And the people, though, hated what the Jews had done to Germany. That's something most people don't understand. The reason they got behind Hitler and tried to get the Jews out of Germany was the fact that they had taken over the entertainment industry and introduced lasciviousness and debauchery and nudity in the German entertainment industry, which was very offensive to these Lutheran Christians. They took over the newspapers, the magazines. They took over the monetary system. They were doing the same thing in Germany that they've done here in America. And so they put the Jews on planes, on trains, on buses, and boats. One of them even came to Ellis Island. I remember watching a movie about it. But nobody would take them because they knew what they would do in their own countries if they did. Okay, they had a very bad reputation for taking over a country and putting their own people in power.
When you talk about the Jews like taking over entertainment, I mean, they didn't like, you know, take over by force entertainment. They worked their way into being dominant in that industry. I would also suggest that probably at the time there was a trend toward the acceptance of nudity, not just there, but around the world, also here in the United States, that it wasn't just a thing with the Jews in Germany. And even if they did that, they certainly didn't deserve their plight. They didn't deserve the Holocaust. And when you talk about appreciating Hitler for saving the economy, think about all the people who are voting for Donald Trump strictly because of the economy. So sometimes there's things that are more important than money. Walter, I really appreciate your comment. And if there's any conversation about, well, you know, we should have been fighting with the fascists against the communists. In 1945, communism was a bigger threat than fascism to America. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okunar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I remind you that this song came out in the 60s. When the baby boomer generation was a young anti-establishment generation rebelling against the establishment. And this song reflected a general question from baby boomers back then. What the hell's going on? And it's sad that this song in 2024 is still pertinent today with the baby boomer generation and also with younger generations. When you look at this campaign, you can't help but think, what's going on? I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Yeah, and you know, right now I'm kind of looking for America. I'm looking for the America that I used to know. I'm looking for the America that I grew up in. It's not here anymore. A man accused of repeatedly threatening to kill top election officials in Colorado and Arizona, as well as judges and federal law enforcement agents, is expected to plead guilty in federal court today. This guy's 45 years old from Cortez, Colorado, and he's been in jail since August 23rd, since his arrest. And he's scheduled now to appear in court for a change of plea hearing after previously pleading not guilty to one count of making interstate threats. His lawyer notified the court that this guy wanted to change his plea in federal court. Guilty is the only other option. You know, why? Why would you threaten to kill election officials and judges and federal law enforcement officers? What, because maybe the election might turn out the way you want? I mean, what a little moronic snowflake. Oh my God, the election may not turn out the way I want. I better start killing people. I mean, that's the mentality that some people have. And there are a lot of people who denounce that, but there are some people in this country who will never say it out loud, but deep in their hearts, they go, okay, kill them. Go ahead and kill them. If you have a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. On the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, this is a comment to the blog that I wrote that is still posted. It's still also trending on the WWL.com website. The title is, Why Are Trump's Pants on Fire? And it's about the most recent lie that Donald Trump has told. Not just a lie, but just one of those crazy fantasy land lies. This is a comment. This is a post from David Gilmer. And it's from Liz Cheney, August the 11th, 2020. Kamala Harris is a radical liberal. This is what Liz Cheney is saying about Kamala Harris. She's a radical liberal who wants to raise your taxes, take away your guns and your health insurance, explode the size of our federal government, and give it control over to every aspect and give it control over every aspect of our lives. She would recreate America in the image of what we're seeing in the streets of Portland and Seattle. We won't give her that chance. Well, admittedly, Kamala Harris has changed. And she had to change because before she was even selected, when she was even running for president before, I said on this show that Kamala Harris is extremely liberal, too liberal to be president. Kamala Harris, I guess they figured, was the best choice, so she had to change. But I could also take comments from Donald Trump years ago and remind you that Donald Trump used to be a Democrat. Donald Trump is saying things today that he did not believe a few years back. So, look, admittedly, Kamala Harris has changed. And, you know, this is something that, you know, she has to reconcile and voters have to reconcile. And voters are just trying to figure out, I don't think who's going to be the best president, but who's going to be the least scary president. I think that's the choice here. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
A lot of reaction to Walter's call here. Folks not terribly a fan of what they heard. Here's one that says, all I can say is that was the most anti-Semitic diatribe I've heard in a while. Here's a text that said, where did it go? I'll step over here. This one. Oh, wait, no. Scoot, enjoyed the conversation between you and the amateur historian. Both have great observations, but you both miss one continuity between now and then. Hitler also had something called the big lie. Here's a text that says, your caller was correct. The people of Germany voted for Hitler because they liked his policies. He won his first and only election fair and square. And then just like people fear Trump will do, Hitler filled the government with sycophants and abolished democracy in Germany after his election, making him Führer for life. And then he actually turned the country around. Germany was doing great under Hitler until he decided to invade Poland. And then literally everything went to hell in Germany and Europe.
Yeah. And this this caller brought up the idea that Patton was saying about how the Jews had taken over the entertainment industry in Germany. I mean, they didn't take it over with guns. It's not like they literally took it over. They became dominant in it because of their work ethic in a lot of ways. That's why they're still dominant in Hollywood. And I don't know why people have such resentment for the Jews, because, you know, they're not like taking over by force. They're taking over with hard work and commitment. And yes, they help each other. well, maybe we should all do a better job of helping each other.
I'll leave you with this one. After Germany surrendered, Patton interred German units intact because he wanted to incorporate them into the Allied forces and beat the Soviets once we were already there. The caller is full of poo. He's obviously an anti-Semite. Hatred against the Jews was part of Hitler's plan. He spelled it out in Mein Kampf in the late 1920s. It was purely racial hatred.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way you can show any support for Hitler whatsoever and get away with it. It's stupid. And you don't even say this to people who are your chief of staff or people who are around you at the time. Even if it's not a public announcement, you don't say you wish you had more generals like Hitler. That cannot come out of your mind. And if that comes out of your mind, it reflects what really, truly lives in your heart. All right, you've got a comment. The Okunar Jewelers talk and text line 504-260-1870. Don't you think it's really interesting that a woman walking her dog was trampled to death by a cow? Donald Trump's favorite animal. We'll talk about that when we come back. I'm Scoot on the air. I hope you're enjoying a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We're halfway to the weekend, halfway to Taylor Swift, and halfway to a big Halloween celebration this weekend. And we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, the lead singer of the band Dead or Alive, Peter Burns, died on this day in 2016, had a heart attack at the age of 57. This was their big 1985 hit. The guy said that he estimated that he had 300 plastic surgeries in his lifetime. Wow. And the guy still didn't look that great. All right, the Scoot on the Air news briefs coming up right after the news at 2 o'clock, and we'll tell you more about this this person who was trampled by an aggressive farm animal that is Donald Trump's favorite farm animal. Any connection? We'll talk about that coming up. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us this afternoon.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is a fun song to add to your Halloween list. It's A Nightmare on My Street by DJ Jeff and Fresh Prince. I'm Scoot on the Air. Yeah, this weekend's going to be a big Halloween party weekend in addition to Taylor Swift. And we welcome all the Swifties who are in town or heading into New Orleans at Champion Square. They opened up the Taylor Swift merch area, so people are just picking up on the merch. So I think it's the state that is moving the homeless people down a couple of blocks so they can't be seen by the Taylor Swift people who are coming to town. And there's a lot of controversy about this. I understand that the state and the city wants to look clean. I get that. And the same thing's going to happen when the Super Bowl comes to town. Is it fair? You got to keep your city clean. You can't make your city look like it's taken over by the homeless. I don't know what Portland did, but I go to Portland often. Portland cleaned up. They were a true mess. And I don't know what they did or exactly how they handled it, but the city of New Orleans should contact the city officials in Portland, Oregon, and find out what they did. Because while there's still homelessness and too much of it, and while they're still around, they have just generally cleaned up the city area. So, yeah, a lot of controversy about moving the homeless, but you got to make the city, look good. And they're moving them a couple of blocks away. So, I guess in defense of the homeless, I don't know. Why does it make that much difference? I know people don't like anything done with the homeless. And I feel badly for a lot of the people who are homeless. And we've talked about this occasionally. Some people are just, they're dealing with mental disorders. They don't know how to get help. There's help available for a lot of people, but they don't know how to get help. Some of these people don't want the help. They would, as hard as it might seem for you or me to live on the street, that's all they know. I'm not using that as an excuse, but I think that's a reason. And they live on the street. That's all they know. A lot of people on the street reject any rules, so they don't want to live under the rules of a house or a facility where they could be living off the street. They don't want to live like that. They don't want to live with those rules or regulations. They want to be out on the street doing whatever they want. I don't get it, but that's why that is such a complex problem. Hey, I want to say hi to Lewis Farmer. Lewis Farmer is with Window World. and he just stopped by here. I'm getting some new windows in my my apartment. I need some new windows, and I'm getting some new windows in my apartment at West End, so I've got a nicer view of the lake. And he just came by here. He's from Baton Rouge. Company's from Baton Rouge, and said that he has been a longtime fan. Was a big time fan of Garland Robinette. And Lewis was telling me that he loves when Garland would say, the Dema don'ts and the Republican can't. The Republican can'ts. And Garland was right about that. But Lewis Farmer from Window World, thanks for coming by. Yeah, look forward to getting my new windows. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. It is a Wednesday afternoon. A woman in her 80s was walking her dog. And this was in a place called New Forest, New Hampshire. She was walking her dog on Monday. And she was trampled to death by a cow days after a 63-year-old man was charged at the same spot by the same cow. Well, we think it was the same cow. Now, recently, Donald Trump named the cow as his favorite farm animal. He says they're beautiful, they're cute or lovely or something like that. He didn't add this in, but I think he also likes the way cows taste. I think Donald Trump has bitten into a steak or two in his life. So this is really sad. I mean, you know, who would ever think a cow would attack you? So Donald Trump, I don't know whether you know this or not, but Donald Trump is controlling cows now. He's controlling the cows. And he says if Kamala Harris becomes president, he said she's going to get rid of all the cows. He doesn't say how. But Donald Trump found out that this woman was a Democrat voting for Kamala Harris, and he directed the cow to kill her.
Well,
so Donald Trump is directing cows to kill people who are not going to vote for him.
What's your source on that? That sounds like not real.
Who needs a source? You don't need sources anymore. You just tell a good story. Right?
No.
Isn't that what he does?
Yeah, but that's not what you're supposed to do. That's not what we do on this station. You can't just make something up out of whole cloth like that.
All right. Okay, but I was right about everything up to the point about Trump directing the cows. But that is as insane as suggesting that Trump or the government, that Biden is directing the hurricanes. I mean, that's how stupid that whole thing is for me to suggest that Trump is directing the cows. But yes, well, I mean, a cow comes along. I mean, who's going to be suspicious of a cow? You know, a pit bull comes by. You know, you might wonder, is this pit bull going to bite me or not? A cow comes by. Nobody's suspicious of a cow.
I don't trust a cow.
The cow tramples this woman and kills her.
I don't trust anything that's bigger than me.
Yeah, well,
you know, I don't trust a moose. I don't trust no cow.
Moose, moose can be rough.
Moose will mess you up.
Yeah, any animal,
kangaroo?
Especially around the mating. Kangaroos are mean.
Kangaroos will jack you up, dog.
Man, those joeys will punch you.
Bam.
They will. Yeah. They hit you with their legs. They balance on their tail, and they'll knock the hell out of you.
Whack.
There's a great video somewhere where somebody gets whacked in the package. His package gets whacked, and he gets bent over. Anyway, I just thought it was fun to tell the story about Trump directing the cows because, you know, it's a ridiculous story. So a federal appeals court in D.C. has upheld the conviction of the man who organized Cowboys for Trump. Now, he was part of the January 6th riots. He was part of the invasion of the Capitol. And the case is really kind of testing the fundamental approach of the Justice Department to prosecute hundreds of Capitol rioters. And this has upheld the case of Cooey Griffin, a guy from New Mexico who organized a group called Cowboys for Trump. He jumped over a stone wall outside the Capitol to try to stop the certification of the election. And so the court found that they can continue with the case, that it's a legitimate case. So he may be held accountable for that. And you know, a lot of those people who thought they were, you know, doing the right thing, man, they got busted, and you know, they're sitting in jail with great regrets. I wonder how many people who got charged and busted for the January 6th riot, I wonder how many of them are voting for Trump. I'm sure some are, but I'm sure some aren't. All right, time for Scoot on the Air news briefs. Former Trump's chief of staff John Kelly is on record now with new revelations about Donald Trump's apparent adoration for Hitler's Third Reich.
Vice President Harris is responding to the latest warnings from those who served in the Trump White House's inner circle. In interviews published this week, ex-Trump Chief of Staff John Kelly, a retired four-star general, says Trump praised Adolf Hitler and wanted generals like Hitler had.
He wants a military who will be loyal to him personally.
Harris says Trump's comments are shocking and unacceptable.
This is a window into who Donald Trump really is, from the people who know him best.
And in 13 days, America cannot give him a second term.
Those who once tried to stop him from pursuing his worst impulses would no longer be there.
Trump's campaign denies Kelly's accounts, saying he simply made them up. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
And Donald Trump is making more false claims that Kamala Harris isn't really campaigning.
Former President Donald Trump told Fox News Radio's The Brian Kilmeade Show that Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris is taking Wednesday and Thursday off.
I feel very good. She's taking the day off and she's taking another day off. I don't believe in I've gone 52 days in a row.
But she isn't. Harris is visiting a Philadelphia deli to thank supporters before attending a CNN town hall in the evening. And later in the week, she goes to Atlanta to hold a rally with former President Barack Obama and rock star Bruce Springsteen. Trump said about Harris earlier this week,
she's lazy as hell, and she's got that reputation.
And claims that he's campaigning harder than she is. The Republican presidential nominee has two stops in Georgia on Wednesday and will head to Arizona Thursday. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Ian, correct me on this. I mean, Donald Trump hasn't been exactly hard on the campaign trail every day either, has he?
Well, no. I mean, I went and looked at his I heard him say, I've been on the campaign for 52 days in a row. And I make a habit of every morning seeing, you know, who's doing what where. And so I knew that at least one day last week, Donald Trump had no public scheduled events. So no speeches, no rallies. He may have made an appearance at a delicatessen or somewhere. But I think in the strictest sense, when we're talking about if we're campaigning, I mean, like big public ticketed events, not like I'm going to stop in a donut shop. So if that's the definition we're going with here, then Donald Trump took a week off last week and a day off the week before that. No big deal.
All right, Kamala Harrison. Yeah, it is a big deal, I think. Kamala Harrison, Donald Trump are focusing on the swing states. And as I said yesterday, you know, maybe it's a blessing that we're not a swing state because, man, there'd be a lot of traffic jams and stuff if we were. They've got these wildly different strategies to energize the coalitions that they feel like they need to win.
Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are courting key constituencies with less than 2 weeks before Election Day.
Get out and vote, please.
Rapper Eminem and Barack Obama were an unlikely duo, headlining a Harris-Waltz rally Tuesday night in Detroit.
I'm nervous, but on the surface I look calm and ready.
Harris has been targeting undecided moderates, college-educated suburbanites, and women.
My plans are focused on working people.
She spoke with Hallie Jackson in an interview for NBC News.
I will never assume that anyone in our country should elect a leader based on their gender or their race.
Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
Donald Trump rallied with supporters in Greensboro, North Carolina, Tuesday night.
Too big to rig. We got to make it too big to rig, everybody.
Trump's team has been firing up his base with tough talk aimed at low propensity voters.
He talks about there being a bloodbath if he loses.
President Joe Biden met with Harris campaign workers in New Hampshire.
This guy is a danger to the Republic.
I'm Jennifer King.
All right, here's something that surprises me. I'm really surprised by this, considering how much Donald Trump has talked about not voting early, how long he went on. He's kind of subsided from that, but Donald Trump has been on rants about don't vote early, vote on Election Day. Well, right now, more Republicans are voting early, according to the records.
Former President Donald Trump has been encouraging Republican voters to go to the polls before Election Day, and that's what many of them have been doing. As of Tuesday, the Trump campaign said nearly 19 million ballots had been cast. Tuesday was the first day of voting in Wisconsin. Republican Gerald Bruns stood in line in Kenosha.
I'm voting for Donald J. Trump, and the reason being, I love his policies. Is he the greatest personality? No, but I'm not voting for personality. I'm voting for policy.
Raymond Lathrop said he also voted for Trump.
I didn't vote for him to be the pastor of my church. I voted for him to be the president of this country.
Maria Rodriguez said she supports Vice President Kamala Harris.
Predominantly because I am a woman of color and I'm, like I said, I'm moderate, but my body, my choice.
Republicans are hoping that a surge in early voting will will fix a mechanical problem that some GOP blame for costing Republicans the 2020 election and key races in 2022. Donna Water, Washington.
All right, so the beginning of that story talked about how Trump is now telling people to vote early. But yeah, for a long time, he was very skeptical of early voting and wanted Republicans to vote and wanted his voters to vote on Election Day. Now, more Republicans are voting early, but that could mean Republicans who are voting for Kamala Harris are voting early. So we don't know what the tally is. We just know that more registered Republicans are voting now. But I would think that overall, that's a very positive sign for Donald Trump. Tim Walz, vice presidential running mate for Kamala Harris, made waves yesterday attacking Elon Musk as Trump's shadow running mate, calling him dip blank.
Elon's on that stage, jumping around, skipping like a on these things. You know it. Think about that. That guy is literally the richest man in the world, spending millions of dollars to help Donald Trump buy an election.
Let's remember, there's no skipping in politics. J.D. Vance, the vice presidential running mate for Donald Trump, says that Tim Walz has a tough job trying to sell Kamala Harris to the people.
Governor Walz has to go around and somehow convince the American people that Kamala Harris is going to solve the very problem she's been creating over the last 3.5 years. That is tough. We should feel bad for him. We should say a prayer for Governor Tim Walz because that is a tough, tough job.
All right, that's it for Scoot's News Briefs. When we come back, we'll go to Ian Hoke with some of your text messages. So maybe we'll get to your text message coming up. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line is 504-260-1870. You know, maybe this is a question that we could talk about this afternoon. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Some of you are. Some of you are not. Okay, in what ways are you better off or are you not better off now than you were 4 years ago? And be specific. And is that going to determine who you're going to vote for? If you want to join us, the Okanagan Jewelers Talk and Text, 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we will be back on WWL. Birthday today to Weird Al Yankovic. Guy's really creative. We'll do a couple of his songs today. Weird Al Yankovic, 65 years old. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. The White House is confirming that 3,000 North Korean soldiers are in Russia, and apparently they're headed for Ukraine. So, you know, this has got to be a real tough moment for Vladimir Putin, because remember, this guy thought he was so tough, and he thought he was going to just march through Ukraine like a hot knife goes through butter. Well, it didn't turn out that way, and he did not consider the will of the Ukrainian people. He did not consider the will of the world to fight against aggression on the part of Russia. And so apparently now he needs help, and he's bringing in North Koreans to do some of the fighting. So it's interesting. I mean, I'm sure they're glad to get out of North Korea, but I mean, to be in a war zone like this, and those friggin' Ukrainians, they'll kill you. I mean, they've killed a lot of Russians, and they'll kill these people, too. So sad that that war continues. All right, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Yeah, you've been asking people if they're better off now than they were 4 years ago. Here's a text that says, my portfolio doubled in the last 4 years. If this is a bad economy, I'll take it every day.
You know, there are a lot of Republicans who are going to vote for Trump, but, you know, maybe somewhere deep inside, they don't know what's going to happen. And maybe some of them are going to decide to vote for Harris, because anybody who's got big money in the stock market, they're doing really, really well. So for a lot of people, the economy is absolutely booming. I know it's not that way for everybody. The economy's not fair. Life isn't fair. But a lot of people who have 401ks and a lot of people with money in the stock market, they're doing really well under Biden Harris.
Yeah, here's another one that says, I'm very much better off today than I was 4 years ago. The Dow and other stock market indices have reached all-time highs under Biden and Harris.
Yeah, so what's the spin on that? What is the spin on that? You know, that's something that really does drive the economy. And a lot of these are people who are in business and they're creating jobs for other people. So there are signs that the economy is healthy. I hope it trickles down more and helps people, you know, at the grocery store, helps people like on the street. But in a lot of ways, there are positive signs to the economy.
The spin on that is that Well, that's just what the economists say. You know, it still costs $7.99 for a dozen eggs, so, you know.
No, you know what? I got eggs for, I don't know, four something the other day.
Remember that guy who called in, this was a couple months ago, he's like, the price of bread is outrageous. I go and I buy Dave's Good Seed bread at Rouse's. And I was like, bro, that's literally the most expensive bread on the shelf. Like, I like Dave's Good Seed bread, but if you're trying to spend less money on bread, get a different brand of bread, man.
Well, because, you know, so many of the claims about a bad economy are just totally false.
They really are. Here's a text that says, this one's a little bit longer. Not 100% sure which way I'm voting yet. I still got 2 weeks to decide. Am I better off than I was 4 years ago? I don't think so. I think I pay more for everything. I pay more for food. I pay more for electricity. I pay more for gas. Is it their fault 100%? Probably not. Due to have something to do with it being the administration in charge, probably someone, they get the blame. That administration is the one that's in at the time, 100%. That being said, I just want to add, if it was a Republican Party administration in charge, they would probably get the blame for it too, because that's just what we do. We blame whoever's in charge for all the issues.
Well, unless you're Fox News. And unless you follow Fox News, then what you're going to do is you're going to get the message that it's not the Republicans' fault, that the president doesn't have that much to do. There was this economic expert on Fox 8 last night. I saw him. And at the end, he tagged out talking about the stock market almost being at a record level. And he said that whoever's in office doesn't have that much to do with the economy. And it's true. And there's quite often there is inflation during a reelection year. And if you go back through history, if presidents could control inflation, why wouldn't they have inflation down during the reelection year? But they haven't been able to do that because they don't totally control the economy.
I'll give you a couple more. Here's one that says, I'm better off now. 4 years ago, Trump was busy making billionaires money, including his own crime family. Another text says, yeah, 4 years ago, no more COVID problems and no more refrigerator trucks of bodies. Yes, I'm better off. Now, here's a text that asks, this might be one of those gotcha questions. It says, please explain what Biden and Harris did to help the stock market achieve its current level.
Well, I don't know, because as I have said, presidents don't have that much control. They don't have as much control over the economy as many people have been led to believe. If the economy is down a little, if inflation is an issue, which it is, but it's calming down a lot, then you've got that side that makes that a big deal. So I don't know what they've done, except maybe get out of the way. There's a possibility that Donald Trump can come into office and do things that change the economy in a negative way. I mean, you don't know. And let's just be clear about this. If Donald Trump wins, before he won the election, the economy, in a lot of ways, was booming. So he's going to take over a booming economy, and he's not going to be able to take credit for just a booming economy in the first quarter of next year if he wins the election.
I would offer this as a gotcha question, because you get questions like this, like, what have they done? And then if you have an actual answer, like the Inflation Reduction Act or the Bipartisan Infrastructure Bill or the CHIPS Act that like rehomed a bunch of American manufacturing and stuff, they say those don't count. But the fact of the matter is, the entire world economy got clobbered in 20 and 2021, and the United States has the best post-COVID economic recovery in the world. Our economy is the envy of every nation on earth. And that doesn't mean that gas isn't still expensive, or that eggs and bread and milk aren't still too expensive, and insurance and housing isn't all too expensive. It is. But again, just like I'm saying, like five times a day at this point, zoom out and connect the dots.
But that doesn't mean that Harris and Biden are given credit for the good economy. I mean, I don't give them total credit. I am better off now than I was 4 years ago. But that's not why I would vote for Kamala Harris. In fact, as I said, I think yesterday, look, there's every reason I'm going to vote for Donald Trump, because Donald Trump's good for my business. If Donald Trump wins, we'll have something to talk about every day. If he loses, we'll still have a lot to talk about, because there'll be a lot to analyze if he loses. There'll be a lot of bitching and whining and complaining and a lot of comments from snowflakes, and we'll talk about all of that if he loses, but he may win. So, you know, we'll have a lot to talk about. But I don't vote for a president based on the economy, because if you understand that, and I'm not a good financial wizard by any means, but if you understand the basics, you understand that presidents just don't have that much control direct control over inflation and the economy. All right, if you've got a comment, the Okanar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Taylor Swift coming to New Orleans. She was in Miami last week. She's here this week. So where does she go in between? Does she hang out in Miami? Or does she come to New Orleans early? Does anybody know? And I wonder if she's going to get out and enjoy the city. You know, she's been here before. She was at Family Gras, you know, years ago. Some of you may have seen her there. But she is just a monster talent. And it doesn't mean that you have to like her, but she is somebody to be respected. I mentioned at the beginning of the show about her popularity, and I'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back, because there's something interesting to note about the popularity of Taylor Swift. And if you're on hold, stay with us. If you want to join us, the Okanar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And why? And is that going to determine who you vote for? I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, I love that series, True Blood on HBO. Did you notice that in that series, the vampires were sort of treated like homosexuals, like the LGBTQ community? And the story was written by a gay guy, and I thought that was pretty fascinating. Like, wait a minute, you're not. Wait, you're hanging around with him? You shouldn't even be going to that bar because vampires hang out in that bar. Anyway, it's kind of interesting. On the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, the blog that I wrote yesterday is posted, or the day before, still posted. And it's also on the WWL.com website. But comments on the SOTA Facebook page, why are Trump's pants on fire? And Jeff has posted a picture of me, and it says, if TDS was a person, and it's a picture of me. And, you know, I mean, I think that's funny because, I mean, my life is great. If this is what TDS is, then everybody should have it. I mean, I have a great life and I really am not down. I'm a very happy person. And people who have TDS, seriously, they're, you know, I mean, I don't know how happy they are, but as I've said so many times, I don't let Trump live in my head. You know, I'm not preparing for the show. I'm not on the air, man. I'm living life. Let's go to Harvey. James, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on. Good afternoon.
Good, Scoot. I was going to say one thing, but now I got two. The first one, I think you guys are absolutely wrong. Trump took off a half a day off his campaign to go apply for an apprenticeship at Mickey D's a couple of days ago. So he did take off the time.
That's right, the first he did.
Okay? Because it wasn't scripted. He went there for a job. The second one is, you keep saying something, and I might be wrong on this one, but it's just my memory. You keep saying she's too liberal to be elected. What I hear from that is there were two other guys that the same thing was said about them before they won the presidency. One was Bill Clinton. They said that about him. And he was the only president in my lifetime that balanced the budget, that when he left a surplus for the guy who screwed it up, but I ain't going to talk about him yet. He reformed welfare. He put the internet in public schools and a whole bunch of other good things that he did. Now, the other guy, he was too everything to be elected, including some people said he wasn't even a citizen and he was a Muslim. That guy won the Nobel Peace Prize. He reformed health care. He killed more enemies of this country, including bin Laden, and a few other things. So when I hear you say these guys are she's too liberal to be elected, that was said about two other people that accomplished a hell of a lot more than these conservatives we put in office.
All right, James, to my credit, I said when she was talking about running for president, when she was running for president before, at the time, she was too liberal. Bill Clinton and Barack Obama both did the same thing. Candidates become moderate during the campaign. And Kamala Harris has definitely changed what she talks about. And she doesn't stand for, and she's even taken back some of the things that she once stood for. So I was talking about her in the past. People have a decision to make, and some people don't like the fact that she's changed. Donald Trump changed. People accept that. But I guarantee you that if you look back, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama ran as moderates, and if they ran as extreme liberals, I don't think they would have won.
You're probably right. One more observation I want to make. Yeah. Between those two conservative guys that won and the two so-called moderates or whatever they were called, because Barack Obama was called everything but a child of God before he was elected. The conviction rate between the two, that's at least 66 convictions and more to come if one guy doesn't get elected. 66 convictions. Between Bill and Barack, one conviction. That's what I hear every time I hear one's too liberal versus one too conservative.
But I'm not talking about convictions, James. I'm talking about their policies and what they talk about and the things that Kamala Harris stood for. She was too liberal, in my opinion, to be elected president. And it's interesting that as soon as she gets put in the position, she changes her position to more moderate, because you can't be that liberal and win. If she still stood for those things that she stood for in the past, the polls would not even be close. But I appreciate your call. Let's go to Hammond. Irvin, you're on WWL. Thank you for hanging on.
Hey, Scoot. I think all of us right now have election fatigue, and most of us are waiting for these 2 or 3 weeks to get by. I want to remind everyone, with all the rhetoric and all the celebrities that are supporting each candidate, unless that candidate and his party or her party secures both the House and the Senate, you're not going to see the Democrats get the $6,000 for newborns, or the $25,000 for first-time home buyers, $50,000 seed money for first-time business people. There'll be no real taxes on the rich, no big taxes on investments. And on the other side, unless Donald Trump wins with both the House and the Senate, there'll be no taxes on overtime, no taxes on tips. There'll be no big tax breaks like he's promising. There'll be no large tariffs, which could turn around and cause inflation. So what I'm saying is, the day after the election, what I'm going to look at, irregardless of who's elected, is which party, if either, which I don't think either one's going to secure both the House and the Senate. I'll be surprised. If it happens, then whoever's elected president will have a mandate and will be able to carry on with all the promises. So what I think is going to happen is whoever wins, Harris or Trump, the other party is going to secure either the House or the Senate, which will be in a stalemate which we've been in for the last few years. Now, what I'm concerned about in this state is not the presidential election, because the electors are going to go Republican for Trump. I am very upset right now, not that black folks have gotten a second district, which I'm okay with. They're a third of the population. I'm upset that Cleo Fields is the leading candidate, and he'll probably win. The guy's a convicted felon, and nobody's going to challenge him with any credibility. Of course, he'll go right along with Edwards, Ray Nagin, Jefferson, the three insurance commissioners that all were felons. So that's my concern.
It's amazing the things, Irvin, that do not disqualify you for running for office. You're right. I mentioned it yesterday, and a caller wasn't happy with me. He's talking about all these promises that Kamala Harris is making. And I said, okay, look, those are promises, but, they all make promises. It doesn't mean they're going to keep the promises. And he's optimistic that Kamala Harris is going to keep all of her promises. And if you vote for her and you believe that, well, you have a right to believe it. But I can't help but be skeptical and realize that it takes more than the president wanting to do something and promising to do something on the campaign trail. They're not necessarily going to do it. And there's no guarantee that they're going to do it. The only way to hope that they do it is to elect them, so vote for them. But let's not be naive, because it does take an act of Congress to make a lot of things happen. And if a president doesn't have control of both houses of Congress, they're not going to be able to fulfill the promises that they want to fill. So, you know, let's just be let's be honest about that. All right. On the SOTA rock culture calendar, on this day in 1976, Chicago was going through a trend where they were doing ballads. And this was the number one song in the country, first of 2 weeks at number one on this day in 1976. Man, Chicago been banging out songs like Question 67 or 68, banging out 25 or 6 to 4. They had really great, you know, some heavy rock songs. And then they started doing a lot of ballads, and this was among them. And another song I remember playing when I was doing music radio years ago. But this was number one on this day in 76, If You Leave Me Now. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, we wish a very happy birthday today to Barbara Ann Hawkins of the Dixie Cups. Born right here in New Orleans, Barbara Ann is 81 years old. If any of you know her, would you please tell her that Scoot wished her happy birthday today? You know, I've interviewed them a couple of times, and they're just really cool. And boy, they just have such an interesting memory of the entertainment business from a long time ago to today. But Barbara Ann Hawkins, 81 years old today. Scientists say you should not cold turkey viewing porn on a regular basis. We'll add that to the conversation next hour. I'm Scoot. This is WWL.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, we welcome to New Orleans all the Swifties. Some are already in town, and some, of course, live here who are going to the concert this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Swiftie merch is all out there at Champion Square, and some people were lined up, I think, at 5 o'clock this morning. Like they're going to run out of that? Anyway, it just goes to show you how dedicated they are. I said I was going to mention it last hour. I didn't get to it, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. And I think this is just a really important note about life in general. Taylor Swift is as popular as an artist can be. She is as big as Guns N' Roses were when they were at the top. She's as big as anybody, maybe arguably bigger than anybody has been. Now, you know, when the Beatles, when it was Beatlemania, that was a different story. But other than that, Taylor Swift is huge. But not everybody likes her. In fact, some people hate her. Some people don't really know her music, but they hate her because of her politics. And there are a lot of people who don't care for her music. It's not their deal, and that's okay. You know, no artist appeals to everybody. And I just, you know, in doing this show, I've had to think back on something I learned in my career in, I think it was 1985. Michael Jackson was killing it on the charts, 84, 85, and Bruce Springsteen was killing it on the charts. And these guys were like, you know, especially Bruce Springsteen, just selling out concerts. And at that time, I realized not everybody likes Michael Jackson. Not everybody likes Bruce Springsteen. And I remember this because, you know, at the time I was doing music radio, I was doing skits and I, you know, I had characters on the show. And, you know, this was the Scoot in the morning show years ago. And I had a lot of fun doing that, but not everybody liked me. Some people thought I sucked. So in dealing with that, I realized that not everybody likes Michael Jackson or Bruce Springsteen. So you can have people not like you and you can be a tremendous success. And so for the people who think that I'm like trying every day to make people like me, or that I'm bothered if there's some people who don't like me, that's okay. And I don't care what business you're in, there are people who don't like you. There are people who don't like your business. They go to other businesses because they don't like you. So it's kind of part of life. All right, so Trump's VP guy, J.D. Vance, is now talking about deporting people. And he's now saying we need to deport not just the bad people, but the good people too, because they're here illegally. And excuse me, I argue that those people who are technically here illegally, who were brought here by their parents, they did not commit an illegal act. I mean, they were young. Where are they going to go? They're going to follow their parents. Their parents came here illegally. They didn't come here illegally, but they are here illegally. I get that. Many of those people are contributing to the United States of America, more so than a lot of U.S.-born citizens. So I don't think those people should be quickly deported. You know, they should be given a quick chance to, you know, become citizens and stay in this country. The big news that broke yesterday was that this story in The Atlantic talking about Donald Trump saying that he wishes he had generals like Hitler. And I just don't think, whether you're Donald Trump or anybody, I don't think you ever benefit if you suggest anything positive about Hitler. I mean, that's just a stupid thing to do. But Donald Trump apparently said this to John Kelly. John Kelly, a former Homeland Security secretary, Trump's chief of staff for a while. And John Kelly was fired because he wouldn't do things that Trump wanted him to do that John Kelly, as a military general, knew were not right. And Kelly has continued to talk about Trump's disdain for the military and some of the negative things that he said about veterans and about people in the military. So this has been a big story today, and I don't know what the spin is. Fox News did not discredit John Kelly. They didn't say he didn't say it, but what I saw from Fox News was that they were just trying to skirt around the issue, and I think it was Brett Baird that said, well, this is politically motivated. No kidding, Brett. You think maybe? Everything now is politically motivated, but you just don't benefit yourself if you have the image, whether it's true or not. If you have the image of being an authoritarian who might border on being a fascist, it doesn't benefit you to suggest anything positive about Hitler. So anyway, we've talked about that today. Also, if you're still running around and if you're on social media and still presenting this idea that Trump won the 2020 election, why don't you have a little convo with Rudy Giuliani? Rudy Giuliani has been told to give up his $6 million penthouse apartment in New York. He has to turn it over to Rudy Freeman and Shay Moss, two election workers that he defamed when he followed Trump's lunatic line of litigation that he won the election. And Rudy Giuliani just got pulled into that rabbit hole. I don't know if Trump ever paid him. But Rudy Giuliani defamed these two workers, and they were awarded by the judge a $6 million penthouse. And I mean, a bunch of other stuff. Like Rudy Giuliani had, he had four New York Yankees World Series rings. He had a 1980 Mercedes once owned by Lauren Bacall. He had something, I had a jersey signed by Joe DiMaggio and other sports memorabilia. He had a number of watches that he'd been given. European presidents gave it to him after September the 11th, when Rudy Giuliani was America's mayor and a great leader. And the judge is deciding whether or not to force Giuliani to give up his Palm Beach, Florida condominium that he owns. So he's liable for defaming these people. And think about these two Georgia workers, these election officials. They suddenly have a $6 million apartment penthouse in New York. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, airfare between Atlanta and New York is not very expensive. It's not much to fly between Atlanta and New York. And they can fly to New York when they want to. They got a $6 million penthouse waiting for them there, them and their friends. And somebody suggested earlier that was a little too severe. And when you have things and you defame people, you have to be given something that hurts. You have to give up something. It has to hurt. And so I'm assuming that this hurts Rudy Giuliani, but it just goes to show you what happens to people who follow that lie and continue to believe that ridiculous lie. All right, if you've got a comment, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Also, the Pelicans open the season tonight against the Bulls in the Smoothie King Center. That should be cool. And let me mention, before we get to the break, I've got a couple of calls to get to as well. Let me mention that a judge declares that a Navy veteran is suing CNN for defamation, and that the judge declares this Navy veteran did not act criminally or illegally. CNN may have made an extreme error here. CNN aired this this report on the exit from Afghanistan, the exodus, and they apparently smeared Navy veteran Zachary Young and his company Nemex Enterprises by implying that they illegally profited helping people get out of Afghanistan when they were with when these people were trying to get out when the Biden administration ordered the exodus. And the judge says that these were documents obtained by Fox News Digital, that Young did not act criminally or illegally, and that this whole report from CNN was phony, and it was wrong, and they made it seem like the company was asking for $75,000 for a vehicle and $14,500 per person to get out of Afghanistan, and apparently this was not true. So CNN is going to end up, I'm sure, paying a lot of money. All right, let's go to Jack in River Ridge. Jack, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. To kind of piggyback on the story that you've been talking about with General Kelly, you know, when people vote, if they're not just voting for R's and D's and they're actually paying attention, they're essentially interviewing somebody for the presidency of the United States. And if you were interviewing somebody, I would assume that it would be pretty helpful to be able to talk to the people that they work with. Now, yeah. virtually nobody that was in Trump's cabinet, people he picked out, or some of the people he worked with in business, are behind him in this run for the presidency. Hardly any of them. And so what does that say about him? That none of these people, and look, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is one of the few that's behind him, but she wrote his popularity into a governorship. So, I mean, that's quite understandable. But the people who don't have a vested interest, like the generals, they're just Americans. They took an oath to the Constitution. They're telling you that they can't vote for Trump. That should mean something to people.
It should mean a lot, and it does mean a lot to veterans. There are veterans who are Republicans, who are conservative, who are really torn here because they can't vote for Trump because of his attitude toward the military. And you would think that Trump, who escaped the military through what many believe were phony claims that he had bone spurs, which was a popular thing back in the 60s, that Donald Trump escaped going to the military, you would think that he would have respect, not disdain, for those who fought in his place.
And Scoot, I know you got to get to break. I'll try to speed this up. Look, you said in the past few weeks, you're not worried about the country going to pot because one of these two people is elected. But one of these two people, like you said, still doesn't accept that he lost the election, and his party went after some of the people that verified the election. Okay. They went out. Well, they went after their own. Well, I believe his name was Ratzenberger in Georgia. He's a Republican. Mm-hmm. They threatened his family. Okay, but they tried to replace all the people that verified the election the last time. They went after all of these people to try to get people in place that would verify it no matter what. So, if Trump has any scruples at all, I haven't seen them. I don't think there's a line that he wouldn't cross.
That does concern me, Jack. I mean, those things do concern me. I'm glad you called. I am concerned about certain things, but I don't believe that this country is going to be destroyed by either candidate. And even if it's kicking and screaming, if Donald Trump does not want to leave office, if he wins and then his time comes to an end, because after this, he's not going to get the attention that he would love to have. It's going to be interesting to see what his demeanor is. So I'm concerned about things, but I'm confident that this nation will persevere. But I am worried about what's going to happen between that and the country actually persevering, because Donald Trump has already indicated that he will cause trouble if he believes that he should be the president. And I still go back to that thing that he said, and anybody can put a spin on this if they want to. But what did he mean when he said, if you vote for me, don't worry about it. You're not going to have to worry about voting again. To me, that sounds like if he becomes president, he's going to try to remain president indefinitely. That's what that means to me. If you've got a different interpretation, call us. Also, we're talking about, are you better off now? Because this is continuing to be the question. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And if you are not better off now than you were 4 years ago, do you blame the Biden administration? If you want to join us, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And on the SOTA Rock Culture calendar today, we are talking about Weird Al Yankovic, 65 years old today, so we're playing some of his classics. And there was a time when, man, you know, there was like drugs and drinking, and basically the people in the CIA were like partying hard, even on foreign soil, and that inspired this song from Weird Al. I'm Scoot, and we will be back on WWL. Boy, on this day in 1982, John Mellencamp just owned the charts. On this day in 1982, American Fool, John Mellencamp's album, remained number one for the seventh week. And on this day in 1982, this was the number one song in the country for the fourth week in a row, Jack and Diane. I remember those days on the radio. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's go to Joe in New Orleans. Hey, Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. Look, I have two things. One is inflation, and the other one is, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Now, if anybody said, I don't care who they are, that they are better off, they were better off 4 years ago, they must have been living under a rock. Because everybody was afraid of dying from COVID 4 years ago. Everybody was afraid of dying. So, you know, I don't understand why people say, I was better off 4 years ago. A lie.
Well, nothing they're saying that because it advances their feelings about the
yes,
election.
Exactly.
They want to be worse off. Not everybody was afraid of dying, but a lot of people were concerned. It was a big concern.
Let me tell you about inflation. Inflation is caused by greed. Greed is the reason for inflation. You know, gas prices are iffy. You know, you have some people 25 cents less than other people, and they can raise the gas as much as they want. When you go to the grocery store, you know, a Hershey bar used to be a long bar. Now a Hershey bar is a little compact bar, and you pay more for it than you did for the big bar. You know, and that's because of greed. The landlords raise rent just to get more money. You know, and the grocery stores up their prices, but the employees don't get a raise. Nothing but greed.
Well, and a lot of that is based on, you know, supply and demand. If the supply dwindles, the demand goes up, the prices go up. So, you know, it's a complex equation that determines where the economy is. But, you know, a lot of people don't want to admit it, but they are better off now than they were 4 years ago, especially people with big 401ks and those with the money in the stock market. But I know that's not like everyday Americans, and everyday Americans have been hit by inflation. All right, Joe, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Jimmy in Gretna. Jimmy, what do you have for us?
Hey, what's up, Scoot?
Hey.
Hey, man. Hey, look, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's kind of a crazy thing with this Taylor Swift deal, man. It's like I've never seen nothing like this. I don't think the Superdome has ever had three shows in a row that were sold out for any artist. You know, and it's just crazy. I've heard rumors that Taylor Swift's in town already. I don't know if that's true. She's kind of like hiding out from, maybe she might be in the suburbs. We don't know. I was curious to know if you knew anything about that. Also, daughter.
Hold on a minute here. Taylor, it's in the back of the refrigerator.
All right. Taylor's staying at your place to hide out from the paparazzi. Hey, look, listen, on a serious, a lighthearted note, I'm putting my 7-year-old daughter, her name's Mia, I'm going to put her on the air now. She wants to ask you a question, okay? Here we go.
Okay. All right, Mia.
Hi, Mr. Scoot. My mommy and my sister want Taylor Swift tickets. And we were wondering if you could get them for us.
Mia, you are so adorable. If I could give you tickets, I promise I would. But I don't have them. I don't have tickets to give out, and I'm so sorry. But listen, if you can't see her this time, maybe you can see her next time. But I appreciate you talking to me.
You're welcome.
All right, Mia. Oh, my God, Jimmy, she's just so cute. She sounded so adorable. Yeah, I mean, I wish I could help out. I was going to ask Jimmy. Jimmy always knows about aftermarket ticket prices. I wonder if he knows about aftermarket ticket prices now for Taylor Swift, because yesterday we heard $3,400, $4,500 a ticket for the floor. Damien's in St. Charles Parish. Hey, Damien.
Hello?
Hey, Damien.
Hey, Scoot, how's it going? No, I was listening a few minutes ago, and you had that gentleman on talking about the 4 years difference between if you were better 4 years ago versus now and inflation. Well, inflation is killing me, because 4 years ago, my entire family and I lived comfortably in our own home, working my 45-hour-a-week job, and because of inflation, we are now reduced to living with our parents. Because we cannot, I cannot afford to pay for support my family of five.
What, Damien,
with
the
increased
what,
cost of the, living.
What's the biggest hit that you've taken because of inflation?
It's groceries. It's everything. It's household items, everything from the toilet paper to shampoo, the cost of a pack of cheese to a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread. I mean, 5-6 years ago, you can go to the store with $20 and you can buy some bread, milk, cheese, lunch meat, and a few other items, and you're able to feed some people for a few days. Nowadays, you can't go to the store and buy a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread for less than $10.
Look, I know, I see it.
What actually upset me was when he said that the people that think they were better off 4 years ago versus today are living under a rock and they're a fool.
Damien, let's clear the record here. I didn't say that.
No, he did, not you.
Oh,
the caller said it.
Okay, yes.
The caller said it. The caller said anyone who thinks that they were better off 4 years ago versus now are living under a rock or they're a fool.
Yeah.
And I make more money now than I did 4 years ago, and I still cannot support a family of five. Because of the cost of everything. I mean, gas is a give or take. You know, one month it's high, 1 month it's low. That's going to fluctuate. I understand all that. But when the cost of food and groceries has grown anywhere from 25 to 40% across the board, and even though they say inflation is going down, but those prices aren't dropping at the same rate inflation is, it still hurts.
I understand. But tell me how Harris and Biden are to blame.
I'm not saying Harris and Biden are to blame. I'm not blaming anybody.
Yeah,
I'm not blaming any person in office.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's Trump's fault. I'm not saying it's Biden's fault. I'm not saying it's Harris' fault. I'm not saying it's anybody's fault. I'm just saying in general, I am not in a better position now than I was 4 years ago, and I'm not blaming it on anybody, but inflation.
Yeah.
And inflation is a corporate thing. It's not a government thing.
No, it's tough. I feel badly for you. And a family of five, man, that's a big responsibility. What have you had to say no to? Because I hate to say no to, you know, we all hate to say no to our kids. What have you had to say no to that was really hard?
Kids wanting to go see a movie on their birthday?
No, man, you couldn't do that?
No, things like that.
I mean, it's expensive.
It's never the big things. It's always the little things you have to cut out when you have to make a choice between spending an extra $100 that week to feed your family versus treating your son to a movie on his 11th birthday.
Damien, I feel for you. I mean, I'm so sorry, because it's so hard to say no to your kids when it comes to something like that. I know what that's like. You know, things are easing. Things are getting better. Let's hope it continues. Are you renting or do you own a house?
I mean, right now we share the financial responsibility of her mom's house.
Okay.
Because we went from spending about $1,200 a month in rent to not being able to afford that, and now we're having to split the cost of her house and utilities. Because we just can't do it anymore.
I mean, I know inflation's a problem. It's just it's hard to believe that it's that much more dramatic if you've had a wage increase.
Yeah, well, a wage increase of about a buck over the last 2 to 3 years isn't really that much when you consider how much inflation went up.
No,
and then
we
have a special needs child, so that plays into it as well.
Listen, Damien, you're in a tough situation, and look, I understand it. And you have to vote for the candidate that you think is going to help you best in that area, even though presidents don't have that much to do with inflation.
Right. I mean, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I don't even know if you'd even call me an independent. I just tend to vote for the person that I think is going to best benefit me and my family. And I don't know who that is this time around. You've got a maniacal maniac running for president, and you have someone, at least to me, seems like they've got a third-grade education and don't know what she's talking about half the time. So I don't know who to vote for.
Look, a lot of people right now are sending positive thoughts to you because a lot of people listening just can totally relate to what you're saying. And I hope things get better for you and your family. Just do the best you can as a father and just keep going forward. And, you know, hopefully things will get better sooner rather than later. So hang in there. And, you know, if you want to call us back sometime, call us back and let us know how you're doing. But I, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with you. And I hope you do well.
All I can do is keep fighting a good fight.
That's right. That's right, Damian. And don't give up and, you know, try not to be too bitter. All right, if you want to join us, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. On this day in 2020, country music star Jerry Jeff Walker died from throat cancer. He was 78. The story is he was thrown in jail, got drunk in the French Quarter, thrown in jail, and he was in jail with a guy called Mr. Bojangles, and he wrote this song about that character. I don't know why, but this song has always just really touched me sentimentally, thinking that, you know, Jerry Jeff Walker meets this guy and he writes this song about Mr. Bojangles, and it was, you know, kind of a sad story. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Hey, we are featuring Weird Al Yankovic because today's his birthday, 65 years old, and really this was one of his great cover songs. Love this song. We'll just play it for a second just to give you a taste of it. I guess that's an appropriate way to say it. But, you know, Weird Al, just a really, really talented guy, and does a great job with doing mock songs from real songs. And this was one of them. All right. Beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. I don't know why the election lie is becoming prominent again. I thought we settled all of this. All right. Let's go to Lisa in New Orleans. Lisa, you're on WWL. Good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Scoot, how are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for taking my call. I just was calling to say just the disrespectfulness that's just being said towards the woman. Because, frankly, I don't care who's going to win, okay? But to talk about a woman like that, it's just ridiculous. Like the last caller said, she got a third-grade education. How is so all of the titles that she held before that? If you don't like her, you don't like her. I just think when people say things like that about a woman, it's just disrespectful to a woman, period.
Well, it's disrespectful to a man, too, Lisa. I mean,
you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
You see, these people, but they're not thinking for themselves. They're following what Trump says, and Trump says that she was born mentally disabled or something like that. And, I mean, that's
right, and she's an alcoholic.
That's ridiculous.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this. I just hope we don't have another January 6th deal.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I'm hopeful that we won't, and I'm hopeful that if it happens again, it's going to be handled right away. Lisa, I understand, you know, your feelings about that, and anybody who, you know, just don't say stupid stuff about people. I mean, if you say something so stupid, like Kamala Harris is dumb, I mean, you may not like her, but she's not stupid. Based on the definition of stupid, then actually anybody who does that, they're stupid. So, you know, try to find another thing to attack. Let's go to Slidell. Mary, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Well, I can tell you this.
Mary, turn your radio off and just listen on the phone. Okay, let's go to Elmo in Gentilly. Hey, Elmo, welcome.
Hey, Scoot, thanks for letting me on. I just wanted to mention you were talking about comparing today to 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And if anybody thinks either Trump or Kamala can get the prices back to what they were, they're being naive about it. Now,
right.
And they have COVID amnesia.
You're right.
You know, the disruption, it was a great disruption in the economy. And we are a capitalist system, and I'm not knocking a capitalist system, but, you know, you have a business, you're trying to maximize your profit. And
sure.
So you have the opportunity, there's a demand, you raise your prices, you're not going to lower your prices until people quit buying.
I see, that's exactly
right. And the people...
Go ahead.
And people don't understand that. And that's just the way it is, and it takes a long time to oscillate, or whatever you want to call it. It's like dropping a big old stone in the middle of a big pond.
Yeah.
And you watch the waves, and they just gradually, yeah, eventually blend.
You know,
people
got to
get the pay raises.
This is one example that I've made, Elmo. If the price of bacon is skyrocketing and you continue to buy bacon, why are they going to ever lower the price?
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
Well, nobody needs bacon. You don't have to eat bacon. If all of a sudden people stop buying bacon, guess what? The price is going to come down.
Exactly. I just recall my college days when I ate more peanut butter.
Peanut butter's good for you.
They didn't have ramen noodles in those days. You know,
it's good.
But that's what you got to do.
Elmo, I appreciate the call. You make a lot of sense to me. Is Mary with us, Ian? Okay, she dropped off. All right, we're going to have to get to a break here. Look, I'm not going to have time to get into it today, but I want to share with you, because unfortunately some people get addicted to pornography, and they suffer from PPU. It's problematic pornography use, PPU. You didn't know about that, did you? But there are problems if you cold turkey doing pornography on a regular basis. We'll tell you about that tomorrow. And also, we're not going to get into this today, but we'll talk about it tomorrow. Martha Stewart says she's not going to be part of any, like, Golden Bachelorette show because she says older guys are just not that good looking. So is there an age difference between you and the person you're with? And how does that work? And are there some problems that just naturally arise because you're different ages, or does it all work out? We'll get into that on the show tomorrow afternoon. All right, here's another fun song from Weird Al, who's 65 today. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby, Mike, and Steve. You know, we've got the Pelicans now. Yeah, the Pelicans are now on WWL, and pregame starts at 6:30, tip-off at 7 o'clock tonight. The Pelicans open up the new season tonight from the Smoothie King Center, live right here on WWL. We're excited about that. They'll also be talking about the Saints game coming up. We had a great show today. We'll have a lot to talk about on the show tomorrow. Some of you were hearing a buzz. The engineers are working on that. We're doing the best we can to try to give you a little buzz this afternoon. A lot of action on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Hope you'll join me there. All right, I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. As always, I thank all of you for being part of the show. Enjoy this great Wednesday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the Air. Love you, New Orleans.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.